let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Ramon Pinon Jr. was born in El Paso, Texas, received his Ph.D. from Brown University. He now holds the title of Emeritus Professor, Division of Biology, University of California, San Diego. He's taught a wide range of classes spanning a broad area of modern biology. He developed the first human reproduction course in the USCD Biology Department in 1973, taught it for many years. Out of that experience came his textbook, Biology of Human Reproduction, published by University Science Books in 2002. His transformation of his textbook into a form more suitable for the lay reader has led to his latest books, Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box, a historic and scientific exploration of human sexuality, and a companion volume, How We Become Female and Male, Our Extraordinary and Perilous Journey, which focuses on the biological aspects of our reproductive system. Dr. Pinon Jr. joins us on today's This Week in America to discuss Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box, Making Sense of One of the Most Important Aspects of Humanity. Dr. Pinon, welcome to today's program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. This is really a fascinating and much needed book. Let's talk about how this all started. I mentioned it was a textbook. When did you decide, you know, there's information there, people really need this information. When did you decide to write the book, Friction and Fantasy?
It came out from my experience in teaching this my human reproduction course over a period of many years. What I found was that on many occasions, students would ask me if they could have their parents or adult relatives, sitting in my classes, especially in parts that were less technical but were still of much interest to them. One particular section, which I did very briefly in my class, but did introduce the subject was homosexuality. And so out of that experience, out of that, let's say, that interest that I saw in many parents of my students, I decided that it would be worthwhile trying to expand the idea of to look at human sexuality from a kind of a historical perspective, not a biological perspective, although that has to be included, but basically to begin to try to see how our ideas of human sexuality have changed over our long human history.
Fascinating read. Friction and Fantasy is the name of the book. Ramon Pinon Jr. is our guest on the program. You coming to grips with sexuality is really difficult for many, many people. Why is that? Is it all the complexities involved in the topic?
I think part of the I can't tell you for every person, but I think much of what the complexity or the difficulties is because most of us are burdened by all kinds of misconceptions that come from the way we were raised, from a religious imperative, from all kinds of things. So human sexuality is not really always about or simply about sex, but it's the way we think about it and the way we've been brought up to think about it. And so this is what makes it so difficult and why there's such variations, I guess, and conflicts in our society about how we should approach human sexuality. What I tried to do was just to look back at our history and see how different societies have thought about it, what different people, different historians, different writers, and so forth, have thought about all of these issues, which are very, very important because they affect our well-being, the way we run our lives, the way we raise our families and children. So it took me a long time, but I think I managed and somehow to capture that complexity the historical complexity.
You do an excellent job with that in basically helping us understand and distinguish between reality and illusion. Oftentimes that gets caught up in a number of areas. Myths is something that I think follows the talk of sexuality in everyone's minds. Talk about that, some of the common myths out there and how they seem to like go from generation to generation.
Well, you know, one of them, of course, is the one that we face today in the culture wars, you know, is gay liberation, you know, the transgender phenomenon. You know, these are very, very touchy and very complicated subjects. But the reality is that people have faced them, societies have faced them, you know, for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. And you know, that there is nothing, I mean, the idea that all of these aspects of human behavior are somehow anathema, that they're abnormal, that they are sinful, is a consequence of our, you know, religious traditions in many different societies, not only in our own. But, you know, when you start looking more carefully at let's say, the reality, that is, the biological reality, what you see is that these are normal manifestations of a wide range of different types of biological behaviors, none of which can be considered, let's say, abnormal, because they don't damage. They may be problematic for the individuals, but they're not dangerous. Not for example, like child abuse, which is another topic that I cover.
Yes.
Child abuse, again, is a consequence of the complexity of our biological inheritance, but it's dangerous because it injures many other people. So it's the reality and the illusion. The reality is what our biological makeup is. The illusion comes about from the way in which we interpret that, the way in which different societies around the world have tried to make, to understand the very complex nature of our biology. And this is what makes sexuality so difficult and at the same time so interesting for people who are trying to understand our biological inheritance.
The book is fascinating, Friction and Fantasy by Ramon Pinon Jr. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to information on the book. You'll find it at Amazon. You'll find it at bookventure.com in the bookstore there. It's interesting, and you touched on that. If you think what we're seeing now, a lot of the questions we're having are caused by our society, we're the first generation having to deal with these issues. You'll find out, as you just said, that these issues go back for generations. In fact, you've got one chapter in the book, and the book is broken down into seven chapters, Erotic Preference and Gender Diversity. And you talk about human sexuality, what is normal? Is there a normal? And I think you touched on that in the last answer. Is there really a normal?
There is no normal. That's the problem.
Yes.
You know, it's like asking about human intelligence. Is there a normal? There is no normal. There is a variation. There's a huge variation in human, sexual behavior. Part of that is a consequence of the society, of the way in which people were raised in different societies. I touch on, for example, on abuse. That is the way in which, in many, probably most societies around the world, men have been the dominant forces in, let's say, subjugating women sexually. And this is part of the, you know, this is nothing, you know, people have always said, well, men are just more violent because of the Y chromosome, because of testosterone and so forth. Well, the reality is that probably that's not the case. I mean, it's true. Men have higher levels of testosterone and so forth. But not all men are violent. What happens, I think, is that in most of our societies, men are brought up to feel to be dominant, to try to subjugate others. Now, it varies from individual to individual. Some men are just more violent than others. But there's no relationship between the propensity for violence with, let's say, testosterone levels. People have looked at that, and there seems to be no relationship at all. So my feeling about all of this, about the way in which we think about sexuality in our own lives, in our own families, is that it's a composite of all the way in which we were brought up, the way in which our societies have, let's say, instructed us to think about these issues. And so the idea, I mentioned, for example, in one of the texts, that in the 19th century, there were many physicians wrote books about how women had no sexual drive at all, that they weren't interested in sex, that only the men were interested in sex. The reality is that when you start looking more carefully historically, and I mentioned one really amazing study carried out by a professor at Stanford University in the 19th century, in which she interviewed women that were born in the 1850s, 1870s. And that's not their world. I mean, they were very, very interested in sex, in achieving orgasm, and they were not at all the submissive, sexually repressed females that we tend to think of, which was a popular stereotype in the 19th century. So that all throughout history, let's say, in many, many ways, there have been people, rebels, you might even say, who were different, acted differently than what the prevailing, say, society told them the way they should behave for religious, social, cultural reasons. But the reality, biological reality, was completely different.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program is Dr. Ramon Piñon Jr., author of the book Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box. Chapter 7 of the book is Sexual Discontent, and you talk about tragedy of the bedroom. How often is that caused by myths and the misconceptions and we've been talking about and the moral and religious imperatives? How often does that cause the tragedy in the bedroom?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to know, to give a number to that. But I think it's clear that there is, I think I opened that chapter with a little quote from Leo Tolstoy.
Yes.
About, he's the one who uses that term, the tragedy of the bedroom, because of the fact that, perhaps because of the way our society assigns roles and behaviors to males and females, different roles and different types of behaviors, that in many ways that suppresses them. They're not, let's say, liberated to be able to express their own desires, because they're always constricted by the way society says they should behave, with the way they should, feel about things. And so, the classical books look like Anna Karenina and Emma Bovary. You know, this is about the female, you know, who is unhappy in the marriage, and she seeks out love outside the marriage. And you know, the interesting thing about those books is that the poor women end up tragically, both of them being killed. And this is a way, in a way, that the women are being punished because of their, let's say, their desire to be free, to express themselves in a way which is different from the way society expects them to behave.
Rapidly.
So a lot of the,
yes, I'm yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're rapidly running out of time, and it's such an important book, Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box. Touch briefly, and we'll talk about it in the book, on sexual fantasies and the taboo subject of solitary sex. Sexual fantasies, so often people are taught, that's bad. You're not supposed to have those.
Yes. Well, that used to be the old thing, that they somehow indicated that you were you were being very sinful, but the
yes.
reality is that everyone has them, and they're probably very healthy for you.
Interesting.
As long as you don't go out and start attacking other people. But it turns out I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anyone has really done an absolutely statistically. Let's say, relevant study about all of this, but the reality is that most people, if they would admit it, have had or continue to have sexual fantasies. I think it's healthy. It's a way in which, let's say, the our inner biological apparatus sort of retains its ability to continue to feel the imperatives of a biological system. So there's nothing really wrong about those. And in the book, in the chapter in the book, I quote many of these stories that from interviews that psychologists have had with a number of their patients about their sexual fantasies, and they're very interesting. They're funny in many ways, but they're also revealing something which is really fundamental about humans.
I also mentioned, and I shouldn't have because we don't have time to really get into it, but I threw it out there, so I need to bring this up. The subject of solitary sex, which is something that's yes. really not talked about a lot, and that I. Many people, again, will put that in the category of harmful. That shouldn't be done.
Yes. I mean, it's interesting because you can talk about almost everything now except solitary sex.
Yes, yes.
Except masturbation. That somehow has remained a very, very taboo subject. And it's unclear why that is. You can talk about almost everything else now. But you can't really talk about masturbation. There's something in our society that's so I don't know how to call it, but there's some repressive force in our society that refuses to really talk about that subject.
Yeah, we've come a long way, but not that far, apparently, as yet. That's still sort of in that category, but we get a different look at it from the book. And one of the chapters, real briefly, Anatomy of Sex, and you talk about the brain. How much of sex is the brain? Or what role does the brain play in sex?
Well, I think the reality is that it probably is, sex is the brain.
Yes.
You know, our brains are this incredibly complex organism so our sexual being is based in different centers of the brain, it's difficult to know to define it in a more precise way because we know so little about the centers in the brain, the different tissues in the brain that are responsible for the different aspects of our sexuality. It's not all concentrated in one section, but it's probably diffused to different regions of the brain. The little that we know about these things, that's what we sort of imagine that our sexuality really develops out of brain activity, but we know. Basically nothing. We know a lot about the different regions of the brain, but that's one thing. But the other one that's so much more mysterious is how do all of these different parts of the brain that communicate with each other, out of that, out of those interactions, how do we, how does out of that come the sense of love, for example, the sense of longing, the sense of desire? Somehow it does, but at this stage, as far as I know, we know absolutely nothing about that. We know a lot about the different components of the brain, but how all of those different elements, parts, come together to give us what we refer to as our sexuality, our desire for love, desire for compassion, for caring, and so forth, that remains a mystery.
The book is very well done. It's a very important book, helping us make sense out of one of the most important aspects of humanity. The book is called Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box. The author, our guest on the program, Ramon Pinon Jr. You'll find the book available at Amazon, at bookventure.com in their bookstore. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, it was a pleasure to have you on the program. It really is an important book. It's a book that's necessary reading, and I'm sure that the response you got in the class, in fact, it'll take 30 seconds to talk about that. What was it like with the students and the people who have read the book? Did they come away? Could you see their attitude changing suddenly? They were feeling more comfortable with their own sexuality?
Well, that was my hope. I mean, I had several teaching assistants that would meet with the students, periodically once a week or so, and they would tell me, the teaching assistants would tell me that the students that showed up to their sessions were full of questions, because these were things, topics that no one had told them about. They had never learned any of these things, and so they were so curious about learning about all these different aspects of our, let's say, biological aspects of our sexuality. It was really fun. And in class, students typically, don't ask questions when you have a big class.
Yes.
But I always had a lot of questions, and it was always fun to see parents coming to my classes. They didn't really ask questions, but I knew that they were interested in what the topics that we were discussing. It was a lot of fun.
The book is called Friction and Fantasy, Opening Pandora's Box. Ramon Pinon Jr., the author, book available again at Amazon, Book Venture as well. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to the website to get information. Dr. Pinon, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Really appreciate it. Great job with the book. Very well done. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. All the information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.